My name is Clara Nakambi. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee. My mom moved here when I was age of 14. So I pretty much grew up in North Minneapolis. Went to school here, Franklin Junior High. I went to high school at Vocational, which is no longer, was downtown. It was a school that you took sewing and different things. So that's how I come about being here. I was a daycare provider for 28 years. I serviced infants to school age. I retired last year. And at this time, I have a son who has multiple sclerosis, and that's a full-time job. That's what I do. I take care of him, and he lives in the home with me here. And I take care of him along with the PCA helper that comes in and help me. I was brought up as a Christian. My mom, my parents, my grandparents, and all of my people on both sides of the family are Christians. They still are. I am the only one that converted to Islam. I came through Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam. Eventually, when his son, Walter Dean, became the leadership, took the leadership role in, I think it was 1975, and he brought the true, what I call the Orthodox Islam to us at that time, the Quran. I always had the Quran in the nation, but I never read it. But when his son became into the leadership role in 1975, that's when he began to, tell us to read, get the Quran, study Arabic. But that's when I began to really understand the religion, was through his teaching. He brought out a lot of things about religion that I was not aware of. To me, Islam is all, we had a close community in terms of the community itself. People in the community kind of look out for each other. And I think that was a big part of it. Then when I began to read about, Prophet Muhammad, his life, and the things that he went through with and how he did things, that made me more aware of what the religion is about. One of the biggest things that I find is, I'm asked often, how is you a woman in Islam? Because they have a conception that I have no voice. I'm just, some man controls everything. And that's not true. It's true in cultures, but not in the religion, in the religion of Islam. In the religion, the Quran says that I have the right to own property. I have the right to get divorced, although it's not something that's it's frowned upon, but I don't have to stay in a relationship that's not good for me. So I get asked that all the time about women, and I'm not going to come into that and not have a right. The Nation of Islam, the thing that attracted me to it was the beginning to respect and love self. The love of who I was as a black person was what brought me to the Nation of Islam. All this time, we were thought of as, not as a people. And that was the key to me when I went to the meeting and they talked about, coming together as a people and being respected as a people. And that was the first level for me. I gravitated toward that because we, as a people, we hadn't had that. And at that time, in fact, when I first about to come into under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when you expressed the fact that you were a Muslim, you were visited by the FBI. They actually came to your home, to my home, to question me about overthrowing the government. Now, that was never, I don't know how they got to that, but that's what they actually visit my home. I never was frightened by that. I guess because having grown up in the South as a young girl, dealing with white fountains, black people couldn't go certain places, you know, I was used to that type of stuff. I mean, that was just real for me. I grew up with the Jim Crow, you know, separate schools. So I was familiar with all of that. So no, it wasn't deteriorating for me. I mean, it made me really, you know, say, wow, it must be something to this. If they are willing to want to try to find out, you know, a little bit of me and my husband at the time, you know, if we overthrow the government with what? You know, it's amazing. And it was a sense of empowerment of saying, you know what? Okay, so you don't want me to be at certain places? Well, I don't want to be there, and so I'm going to make my own place, and you can't come in my place. Because at that time, they could not come to our place of worship. It was only later that they were able to come. No white were allowed in the place. So it kind of, I mean, it kind of, you saying you don't want me there? Okay, good. Then I'm going to go over here and leave you be. But as after I was blessed to make Hajj and, like I said, come into the Islam under Imam Walter Dean Muhammad, began to see that Islam was bigger than that. It was, when I went and made Hajj, I mean, I met people from every part of the world that could be there, every color, every ethnic, and it was really a beautiful sight to see that many people in one place. I mean, it was just overwhelming for me. It really made me know that Islam was just, it was just, it's a universal religion, really. It's not just a little piece of something. And my understanding to me is the way I see Islam is the final piece to what was before. The Christians, the Jews, and Islam is the final piece. My Quran is the final piece to what came before me. When I read Quran, I look at Quran and looking and reading it as the piece that fits into whatever's come went before. And it's just huge. Once we had a masjid over south, and we finally moved from that place, and we got this place here, became available, someone got it, and we started to be a part of that, and that's how I got to be a part of it. We renovated it a few years ago, about 10, 12 years ago. We did a fundraising to renovate it. It was originally it was a restaurant, and so we renovated about 10 years ago, and did what we did, and we fundraised to do that. So it's to me, I would be lost without my place of worship. In fact, my place of worship and my religion is what keeps me focused with all of the things that around me today and what I'm seeing in the outer world and the craziness is I know that regardless of what's going on, there is someone higher than all of that. And, you know, man can have his whatever, but eventually it'll come down to what it needs to be. That's my love. I've been on the board. I try to remember. I know at least 10, 12 years I've worked on the board. I've been with the fundraising of that community. I've helped out when they had the Saturday schools. I've cooked. It's my place of worship, and I would feel lost, you know, if it wasn't there. All of my neighbors are Christians, or some other faith, or no faith, or whatever. But I know pretty much all of my neighbors. The people who are next door here, We've been neighbors for about 27 years. Lady across the street, about 15 years. The man behind me, 20-some years, a couple of houses behind me. You know, so some of the people have been, we've known each other for 20 more years. My grandchildren grew up with some of their children. And I go to their things. They invite me. I go. And they come to stuff that we have at my place of worship. And one of the things that we look at is the common denominator. We all trying to serve God in different ways. We call him different names, but he's one. And that's been the biggest, that's key for all of us. And during my time in daycare, I had my daycare in the lower level in my duplex. And I'm known in the neighborhood of the children and the daycare children as Grandma Claire. I had my own grandchildren there, so they would hear them call me Grandma Claire. So I became Grandma Claire. And today I see young people out that are they are mothers and fathers themselves, but I'm still Grandma Claire. And it's, like I said, it's about 28 years I did daycare. And a lot of the people that I did daycare for, they're still, you know, live in Minneapolis in this community, and I see them at the stores that I frequently. So it's a wonderful experience to be able to see that happen. A lot of times, I will go over and introduce myself and say to them, I'm over here if you need me. And I think that's the biggest thing with people. We have this fear because we don't know people, and we don't become to know people. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I think people do. We got to get past. And I guess that's one of the things that too. I think growing up down south, and also growing up when I first moved to Minneapolis here, it was just a small group of Afro-American families here, and so we knew everybody in every family here. It was just a few of us here. So it was kind of like, you know, a sense of a family. And one of the things that we as Afro-American culture would do is what they say, a village. We were at one time, that's exactly what we did. We looked out for each other. We looked out for each other's children. We didn't necessarily have to have a blood relationship. I've had two of my friends who passed a few years ago. We were friends like 40 years. They, to me, I'd never had a sister, but they were like sisters to me. If we want to look at, you know, things that's happening. And I know with me still, it's even personally now, I try to be very openly and have open mind about things. But I have to admit, I have some prejudice about certain things. One of the things that, you know, I'm still bothered about, and I still have a problem with, is we as Afro-Americans, you know, were brought here against our will, culture, everything taken. And now I see that our country will take other people in from other places now and respect them and give them the help and things that they didn't allow to us. We didn't have that help. You know, it was our people themselves who had to help each other. And I have to feel, and I do, I express this to my children at times, I have a problem with that. I really do. I don't think it's fair. You know, the system, I mean, nobody helped Afro-Americans to do all this. Nobody gave us the 40 acres and the mule. Nobody did that. When you see black people who have aspired to have something today, it's because they worked their butts off to get there. Nobody gave it to them. I'm very close to my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. The biggest thing that I would hope, and I think that the key to everything is education. I think the more that people know, understand, get a true history of what history is all about, not the history that's out there today. Because a lot of that about one culture did everything is not true. I think we need to, all children need to get the real history of what was, who invented what, who did it. And I think that in itself will make for a better world. When people get the idea that one people made everything and nobody else did anything. So education to me is one of the priorities. Secondly, there are countries that are smaller than us who have health care for free. I definitely think that we as a country can afford to have health care for people. I think we can do that. And people should not have to be sick and not be afraid and not have money to go to the hospital. I would hope that my children will one day recognize that we have the right to live wherever we want to live. I choose to live North Minneapolis. I could live in a suburb if I want to, but I love here. I grew up here. I love it. I like going downtown. I like walking to the stores. I like walking to, you know, I'm not a suburb person who want to drive all the time. I like this. My experience is, like I said, it's been pretty good. I imagine there is some discrimination in terms of, I guess, the fact sometimes if you people who don't understand and you say you're Muslim, they might jump to the conclusion it's terrorist, you know, activities. But I think that's people who really don't have understanding about the religion. I remember so vividly, I think, and when I think about that, I remember when Keith was running for election, for office, and a lot of the people were, you know, really having a problem with him because he was, you know, a Muslim, and they were just didn't, you know, well, I'm not going to vote for him. And so, and I think after he got in office, they found out that he's for people. He's about Minnesota. He's about his government. He cares about what's going on. And I think other than that, basically, you know, we still have a lot of educating to do like we're doing now. Educating people because I, you know, going to the schools, going to places. But I think we've come a long way, you know, in bringing Islam out to people. I think 9/11 was a big setback, but I think things are coming out now that people can see that we just, you know, hey, misunderstanding. And like I said, education I think is the key for all of that. As a whole, I mean, I'm comfortable with where I'm at. I think I've a community, and I think as a community at Masjid An-Nur, we've done a lot of outreach. In terms of the food chef, where people come and they come inside the masjid and they see that it's just a place of worship like every place else. One of the things that Masjid An-Nur does, we have a food chef that we distribute food every third Saturday in the month to anybody, to people in the community. They can come, and we have volunteers to do it. That comes and they give you know, food away, have bags packed up. The food is from First Harvest, but we get money, and this is one of the things when I was trying to say too. I thought about it was how Interfaith has been helpful. Father O'Connelly, which is a church, Catholic church, they do a lot of. Since we're doing a lot of the food chef, they donate money. A couple other the Christian churches donate money to, since they don't have a food chef, to for us to buy the food and to serve the people. And that's the thing we do that. And they have different, you know, canned goods, staples, sometimes meats and different stuff like that. That's one of our outreach programs that we do. And it's on a volunteer basis. And it serves anybody that wants to come. And people see us out there, you know, doing different things. It's open to the public. We have like a little bake sales and different things like that. And the grounds are open for people to come and, you know, participate. And I think, and we have a diverse community there. In fact, I think ours is one of the diverse communities is because we have Africans, we have Palestinians, we have a diverse, you know, Afro-Americans. And I think when you come there, you're going to see a diversity. You're not going to just see one ethnic group. You're going to see a diversity of people worshiping at our mass. And we've had people say to us, they come to our mass because they feel comfortable there. They feel comfortable, you know.